God commanded his people to remember. And it was important to the Lord that the people remembered different things. There's eight different categories that the Lord commands his people to remember in Deuteronomy. We're not going to study all eight of those categories. We're going to just pick one of them. But I thought it might be really interesting for you to see the eight categories in Deuteronomy that the Lord specifically said to his people, I want you to remember. Remember these things. I did a little PowerPoint to just to help us picture it, have it in our minds a little bit. The first and foremost category is this category to remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Now, this might sound really obtuse, but it's going to make some real specific application to your life as we get further along in the message. But remember that you were slaves in Egypt. The Lord says that over and over and over again. He wants them to remember that as slaves, they'd been delivered, they'd been redeemed. And because they'd been delivered and redeemed, the Lord says, you are mine. So that works its way out in a number of different aspects in Jewish life. You were slaves, you've been delivered, you're mine. And so the Lord, that follows with different commands. And then another category, the Lord wants them to remember what had happened to Pharaoh and all Egypt. He wanted his people over their history to recall what God had done to Pharaoh, their greatest enemy, their master, the king that just ruled over them. The Lord says, I want you to remember what I did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt on your behalf. I want you to remember that. The next thing is, I love this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Lord says, I want you to remember the Lord led you all the way, the whole way. Remember that. When they got to the promised land, they're about to cross the Jordan River. The Lord gives through Moses. He says, I want you to remember. Remember when you're hungry? I fed you. Remember when you're thirsty? I gave you water. I want you to remember that I led you all the way. I led you the whole way. That's a really good thing to remember. Next thing the Lord wanted them to remember in Deuteronomy, he says to remember the Lord is the source of all your success. If you're fruitful, if you've been blessed, it's the Lord. He says, when you get into the land and you get houses and lands and flocks, and I don't want you to think you got it because of who you are or what you did. I want you to remember all of your successes I gave you. I've blessed you. I've provided for you. I am the source of all your success. Then another one. The Lord says, I want you to remember that you have been stubborn the whole way. And that's the truth. Israel, we look at Israel, we read the story, and we think, why? You know, why did they fight the Lord every time? I remember asking that question to a Bible teacher in high school, and I remember his answer. He says, well, why do we fight the Lord every time? And we're the same. The Lord says, I want you to remember that you've been stubborn the whole way. And then there's another one. I'm not sure how this really applies, but the Lord told Israel, remember what the Lord did to Miriam. Miriam got leprosy for arguing and contending with Moses, her brother. Remember what the Lord did to Miriam. And then there's the the other reminder, remember what Amalek did. And Amalek was an enemy of Israel that came after them and attacked them when they were in a bad way. And the Lord wanted them to remember Amalek and remember what they had done. And then there's a final reminder. Remember the days of old. That is, for Israel, he wanted them to be cognizant of their history. He wanted them to remember that long string of history from Abraham all the way up to whenever they lived. Remember the days of old. Ask about the days of old. And the point is that history is his story. That's the fact of it. The sovereign God is working a plan, and they happen to fall here. He says, I want you to remember the days of old. I want you to remember the whole story. It's my story. You fit in my story here, but I want you to remember the whole story. So there's these eight categories of remembrance that the Lord says, I want you to remember these. And it has to do with the deliverance. It has to do with the journey. It has to do with living in the land. It has to do with Pharaoh and Miriam and them. Remember, you were stubborn. So different categories of events, different categories of individuals. The Lord wants us to call these things to mind. He wants us to remember. The biggest category of all, and the one that I want to focus on today, and I think will be of great value to you, is the one about remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And the first occurrence of this is in chapter 5. So turn with me there, Deuteronomy 5:15. Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember that you were slaves. And the point of this is that acknowledge the Lord's role in your past in order to live today. That's the point. Acknowledge the Lord's role in your past in order to live today. And by live, I mean trust and obey God. That's what I mean by live. Trust and obey. Trust the Lord, have a relationship with Him, and obey the Lord as He gives you commands. So the command, we find this first, remember here in 5:15, and it says in 5:15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Remember that you are a slave and you've been delivered. On the basis of that, I want you to remember that and I want you to keep the Sabbath day. If we'd have read the rest of that instruction, beginning in verse 12, he's talking about, now take the Sabbath day, I want you to rest, but I want you to let your children rest. And I want you to let your slaves rest and your donkeys rest and all the animals on the farm. I want everybody to rest that day. Remember, you are a slave. So it's like the Lord, he'd given the command to keep the Sabbath day before, but this time he's adding the children and the slaves and the donkeys and everybody else. And in view of them, I want you to remember you are a slave. So I want you to give them rest too. Remember, you were a slave, and I rescued you. So give them rest on that day. That's the first time it comes up. The second time it comes up in chapter 15. Chapter 16 and verse 3. Chapter 16 and verse 3. This might be a little startling to you. With regard to the celebration of the Passover, you shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with unleavened bread. That's the bread that we just had. The bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. See what that says? That all of the days of your life, every day, God says, every day, there's one thing I want you to remember. Every day, I want you to remember that you are a slave and I rescued you, I redeemed you out of that slavery, and you're mine. Every day, I want you to remember that. All right? I see in my list here that I missed one, and that is chapter 15 and verse 12. So turn back with one chapter, 15:12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years. In the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your winepress. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day. So rest for the whole family. Remember it every day in your life. And then if you have a slave and he's Jewish, he can only serve you 6 years. In the seventh year, you have to let him go free. And you bless him. You give him liberally. You provide for him. You give as God's blessed you, you give to him. Why? Well, remember, you were a slave. And I rescued you. So bless him. Remember that. Okay? Turn with me to the next one. Chapter 16 and verse 9. 16:9. You shall count 7 weeks. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle was first put in the standing grain. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your towns, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Feast of Weeks. I want everybody to celebrate. I want the poor to be with you. Invite the poor to your house for the celebration. I want you to invite the widows and the orphans and the Levites and everybody in town. I want you to invite, I want you to celebrate this together. Why? Because you were a slave. And I rescued you. I saved you. I delivered you out of Egypt. I want you to remember that. And I want you to have this celebration with everybody. Be open-hearted because you were a slave. And I rescued you. Okay? It gets better. Turn with me to chapter 24 and verse 17. 24:17. You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take the widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. The basis of social justice. The basis of treating the alien with kindness. There are people you look at and I look at every day, and we think they're aliens. We think they're strangers. We think they're foreigners. Well, they are. We look at them every day. I don't know what thoughts you have. Probably because of your background. You and I would maybe have different thoughts based on our backgrounds and our experience and all the rest. But here God says, I want social justice. The sojourner. That's the alien. The sojourner. The one passing through. He's got different clothes on. He's dressed differently. The sojourner. The fatherless. the widow. I want you to do not pervert justice. Why? Well, I saved you. You were a slave. And I rescued you and I delivered you. You're mine. Therefore, I want you to do it this way. Remember. There's another one. And it's in 24:22, starting verse 19. 24:19. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. Okay, you're gathering the harvest and you're cutting it off and you're making these bundles and you stack the bundles and you get ready to leave for the night and you look back and you left a whole bundle of harvested grain. God says, go ahead and leave it. Just leave it there. Don't go back and get it. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over it again. For it shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather your grapes in your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. It was the Lord's instruction with regard to the Sabbath. It was the Lord's instruction with regard to Passover. The Lord's instruction with regard to the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. The Lord's instruction with regard to social justice. The Lord's instruction with regard to slaves and turning them out after 6 years. The Lord's instruction with regard to harvesting their fields and providing for the poor in their areas. It's God's underlying premise for our relationship with God. Remember, you were a slave and I rescued you. Therefore, I'm telling you how to live. It's also our underlying premise for how we deal with one another. God says, I want you to remember. I want you to call to mind. Now, you say, I'm not Jewish. And we're not. Maybe you are. If you are, you're part of God's blessed family. But here's the thing. The New Testament says that the Old Testament is the shadow of which Christ is the reality. All right? Jesus is the real thing, and the Old Testament is the shadow of Christ. So what is this the shadow of? The table. Jesus is our Passover. Corinthians. Jesus is our deliverer. He's the one who rescues us from slavery. He saves us from our sin. And this is the picture of the whole Bible. As Israel was delivered from Egypt, the believer is delivered from sin. It's the whole story. That Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead, that by simple repentance and faith, you can be delivered, saved, redeemed from sin. Now, in this picture of Christ the reality, the Old Testament the shadow, our slavery is far worse than Israel's slavery. Far worse. How so? Well, when they died, they were no longer slaves to Egypt. The slavery of sin is eternal. Their slavery had certain boundaries to it. Slavery to sin has no boundary. I mean, the more you sin, the more you're chained and the more you're bound And, you know, like Pastor Robbie was saying, that generosity breeds generosity and happiness and health and all that. Well, sin brings further sin and further bondage and further deception. That's the hard part. We don't even know how deep we are. And we can lie to ourselves and pretend and justify our bondage. Our slavery is greater than their slavery. Our deliverance is greater than their deliverance. Our salvation, all of our sin is covered in the blood of Christ. It's taken away. It's removed. We are imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are freed from sin. We are delivered. Our slavery is greater. Our deliverance is greater. Their slavery was temporary. Our slavery is eternal. Their deliverance was temporary. One lifetime. Our deliverance is eternal. Now, given the picture, given the truth, how does this work? What am I to remember? Well, before I go there, what did Israel do? They forgot. They always forgot. And God had to call them back, and God had to remind them, and God had to send judges and deliverers and hardships and all that to call them back. What happens when you forget? Well, you start living on your own. When they would forget, they would go to the Baals and follow the false gods. They'd start doing religion that they could do on their own. That's what we do. And when we do that, If you can do religion without God, without needing a God, you get real hard on yourself and you get real hard on everybody around you. That's what happens. Why are Christian people so hard on each other? Why do Christian people judge each other so harshly? They've forgotten. Forgotten what? Forgotten that they were slaves. That they've been redeemed and they belong to God. They've forgotten. So we need to remember. I am so thrilled to be able to present this to you today because this is the remedy. How do I know it's the remedy? It's what God told his people to do. And it's what God told us to do. I want you to, as often as you do this to remember me. So this is the remedy. This is the remedy to a Christian life that's flagging. This is the remedy to your life, to your stuff in your life. This is the remedy. Remember. Remember what? Remember that you're a sinner. It's okay. It's okay to say, I am a stinking sinner before God. It's okay to say that because there's a Savior that can save you from that. I'm a sinner. I think it was A.W. Tozer that when people would argue with him or complain about him or say that he was, you know, not always cracked up to be or whatever. If somebody start telling him what a terrible person he was, he would say something like, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. There's nothing you could say about me that would be even near the truth of how terrible of a person I am. That's the truth. We want to defend ourselves. We say, well, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm not nearly as bad as you are in our hearts. We don't have to say that. It's not a comparison between me and you. It's a comparison between me and Jesus. I am a desperate sinner. And so are you. If you have never come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Today is your day, of the day of your exodus, your deliverance. The freedom that's in Jesus can be yours from all of your sin. All of it. Today. Right now. He said, Jesus, save me. Save me. And He will. He will. The New Testament uses three tenses for the word save. We have been saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. All three tenses are accurate. Saved in the sense of being justified once and for all in Christ forever. Being saved, that is the sanctification process. That's Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit working in you to save you from your sin today. Ultimately, you will be saved. You will be saved out of this whole stinking mess and glorified in heaven with Christ forever. Let me talk about the middle part for a minute. I don't know what sins you wrestle with, but it's totally appropriate to cry out, Jesus, save me from my sin. Today, right now. Even if Christ, you've trusted Christ as Savior for eternal salvation, today you're wrestling with something. It's okay. Jesus, save me. Save me from my pride. Save me from my selfishness. Save me from my crankiness. I don't know what your sin is, or I would name it. Jesus, save me. And He does. We have a Savior. We have a Savior, and He saves us from our sin. Now, take the step with me into remembering. What are you going to remember? Now, remember, this is the relationship between you and God. This is the relationship with you and people. This is a relationship with social justice. It's the whole thing. Remember, you were slaves. I rescued you. Therefore, I want you to treat your kids right. Remember, you were a slave and I saved you. I want you to treat the neighbor right. Remember, you were a slave and I saved you. When you look at that person from that other country that you really have a problem with, I want you to remember. You were a slave, and I saved you. I redeemed you. I delivered you. Therefore, you're mine. And here's the commands that I'm giving you to live out. It's transforming. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a list of things that you're to add to your faith and grow in virtue and knowledge and those things. At the end of that, it says, if you fail to do this, you're going to forget that you are saved from your sins. So this, what I'm teaching you is a New Testament concept. Ephesians chapter 2 begins with a whole catalog of your sin. And then it says in verse 4, but God. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, but God, and then it ends with in verse 8, has saved you by His grace. So what I'm telling you is not only big picture Deuteronomy, Christ the reality and the Old Testament the shadow, the specific commands in Deuteronomy, it's clear in the New Testament. It's important for you and I to remember. We were slaves. And we've been redeemed. We've been delivered. So, step with me out on Monday morning. You've got a day to live through. What am I supposed to do today? First, remember. You're a slave. Desperate. Slavery's terrible. You've been redeemed. You're free. You're in Christ. He's delivered you. You have the full righteousness of Christ. Therefore, let's step out into life. To treat people, your relationship with God, your view of the stranger. Remember, you've got some plans to make. Remember, you were a slave. You've been redeemed. You belong to God. You've got some daydreams that you have. Remember, you were a slave. You've been redeemed. You've got the Word of God to follow. I'd like you to think, ask the question logically, what would follow this process of remembering? What would follow? If you go through this, logically, in your soul, what's going to follow? Well, first, it would be humility. I'm a slave, and I've been redeemed. I don't deserve it. Save me. Humility. Gratitude. Wow. Zeal for God. Obedience. Whatever He calls me to do, that's what I want to do. Love for other people. You just think it through. If this is true, what would follow? This is the gospel. A simple, simple gospel. I'm calling you to a gospel-focused life. Since we had the Lord's table this morning, I want to end with an illustration, and then I want to end with a scripture. The illustration is, you saw the bread. Jesus is called the bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the manna that came down from heaven in John chapter 6. That's the shadow. The bread is the shadow. The extent to which Jesus is greater than the bread is the extent to which your salvation is greater than everything the Jews had. That much greater. And then let me finish this morning. Turn with me to the last scripture, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Start in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Today could be your day of deliverance. If you know Christ, today is your day. Let's remember. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for dying, for raising from the dead. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to bring this message to the world. Lord, I pray that you would take it and use it in each one of our hearts. I pray if there's a person here today who is not finished, closed with Christ, has not trusted Christ, that today would be the day. And I pray, Lord, for all the believers that are here today, that they would remember, they would live on the gospel, In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.
Let's stand. We're going to close with a song, Jesus Paid It All, remembering what he did for us.
A crimson stain.